The lesson today is out of Psalm 37, the first half of that. There are 40 verses here, and I don't want to just rush through the psalm, so we're doing just 20 of them today. Psalm 37, 1 to 20, Handling the Frustration of Seeing the Wicked Prosper, Part 1. The wicked often greatly prosper or succeed in life, and that can tempt believers to become frustrated and to fret. I don't know if you've heard the news or not, but Judge Scalia on the Supreme Court passed away suddenly, and so Mr. Obama is licking his chops, wanting to stick a far-left replacement in there, and the Republican Congress is going to say, let's see if we can drag this thing out until hopefully we get a Republican president and so forth. So there's a lot of fretting that can go on with something like this. Well, fretting over the matter only afflicts the one who frets. And Psalm 37 shows how to handle the problem. I'd like to look to the Lord in prayer, and then we'll get into His Word. Father, we thank You for Your Word. We thank You for the indwelling Spirit of God, who is our guide and our help. We thank You for the privilege that we have of coming into Your presence this morning and fellowshipping around the Word. We ask that as we get into the text itself, that we would understand it by the power of the Spirit and then be able to apply it in the power of God for blessing. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Okay, I'll read the first 20 verses in the King's English, and then we'll look at it from the Hebrew text. Psalm 37 from the King James Version, the Psalm of David. Fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity. For they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and He shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Commit thy way unto the Lord, trust also in Him, and He shall bring it to pass. And He shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light, and thy judgment as the noonday. Rest in the Lord, and wait patiently for Him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospers in his way, because of the man who brings forth wicked devices to pass. Cease from anger, and forsake wrath. Fret not thyself in any wise to do evil. For evildoers shall be cut off, but those that wait upon the Lord, they shall inherit the earth. For yet a little while, and the wicked shall not be. Yea, thou shalt diligently consider his place, and it shall not be. But the meek shall inherit the earth, and shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace. The wicked plotteth against the just, and gnasheth upon him with his teeth. The Lord shall laugh at him, for he seeth that his day is coming. The wicked have drawn out the sword and have bent the bow to cast down the poor and the needy, to slay such as be of upright conversation or manner of life. Their sword shall enter into their own heart, and their bows shall be broken. A little that a righteous man has is better than the riches of many wicked. For the arms of the wicked shall be broken, but the Lord upholdeth the righteous. The Lord knoweth the days of the upright, and their inheritance shall be forever. They shall not be ashamed in the evil time, and in the days of famine they shall be satisfied. But the wicked shall perish, and the enemies of the Lord shall be as the fat of lambs they shall consume, and the smoke they shall consume away. Okay, some of these verses need to be translated far more than others, because there's when the 1611 translators translated this, they used the Textus Receptus, and their knowledge of Hebrew was more limited than what we have today as far as some of the texts are concerned. So, the introductory remarks in the English Bible comprise verse 1 of the Hebrew text. So, we stay with the numbering system of the English Bible for clarification with this lesson. In other words, where it says a Psalm of David in small print, that actually is part of the verse. It's part of the passage of Scripture, so it's part of inspired Scripture. We know that this is, therefore, a Psalm of David. So, we translate the first half of Psalm 37, verses 1 to 20, as follows. Verse 1, fret not yourself because of evil men. Do not envy those who do acts against what is right. For like the grass they will soon wither, and like spring green grass shoots, they shall soon die away. Trust in Yahweh. Yahweh, you remember, is the name for God, the I Am name by which God revealed himself to Moses. Trust in the I Am and practice what is good. Settle down in the land and feed on his faithfulness. A very interesting figure of speech there. feeding on God as faithfulness. The word feed actually comes from the word to pasture sheep or to feed sheep, but feed on his faithfulness. Verse 4, delight yourself in Yahweh and he will give you the petitions of your heart. The petitions are the things that you ask in prayer. Commit to Yahweh. And the word commit means to take a bed that you've slept on and roll it up into a roll. So completely commit unto Yahweh your way and trust in him. And it is he, emphatic pronoun, who will do them. And the them that he's going to do is he's performing the petitions of your heart in verse 4. And he will cause your righteousness to shine like the dawn and the justice of your cause as the noonday sun. Be still before Yahweh and wait longingly for him. Fret not yourself when a man prospers in his way, when a nobleman practices wicked devices. And when a nobleman is, that's a man who is in position of power. And that's especially frustrating for people when a person in power practices that which is evil. But the Bible here says, nope, we're not supposed to fret ourselves. Verse 8, refrain from anger and turn from wrath. Fret not yourself. It leads only to evil. And that's the truth. If you fret yourself, eventually you're going to do something wrong. For evil men will be cut off, but those who hope in Yahweh, they are the ones who will possess the land. And a little while and the wicked will be no more. Though you look carefully for his place, they will not be found. But the afflicted who thus look to God for fulfillment will inherit the land and take exquisite delight in great peace. The wicked plot against the righteous and gnash their teeth at him. That would be in anger or hatred. Adonai, that means Adonai is the word for master, and that's the Lord seen as the master. Adonai laughs at them because he sees that their day is coming. The wicked draw the sword and bend the bow to bring down the afflicted and the needy, to slay those whose ways are upright. Their swords will pierce their own hearts, and their bows will be broken. Better is a little that the righteous have than the wealth of many wicked, because the strength of the wicked will be broken, but Yahweh upholds the righteous. The days of the blameless are known to Yahweh, and their inheritance will exist forever. In times of disaster, they will not wither. In days of famine, they will be satisfied with plenty. For the wicked will perish. The enemies of Yahweh will be like the beauty of the fields. They will vanish, vanish like smoke. So we have a number of observations here in the psalm that we can look at. And they help to clarify how believers are to handle the frustration of seeing the wicked prosper. Number one, we should not fret over the prosperity or the success of the wicked, for it only leads us to do evil. I've been involved in listening to a number of, especially conservative talk show hosts, radio talk show hosts, and so forth. And it's interesting, a lot of times they have a tendency to get you all worked up as to what is going on that is wrong, but there's no solution that they offer. The only solution is to sway the minds and the hearts of the American people so they'll swing some other way. But I've talked at length with other, especially some of the men in our church. They say that they don't like to listen to these talk show hosts anymore because all they do is get them frustrated. Now, there's a point in that. God doesn't want us to be frustrated when we see the prosperity of the wicked, because all that does is lead us to do that which is wrong. Number two, we avoid fretting by considering that the prosperity of the wicked is transitory. Now, the wicked might have success for a generation, or they might have success for a couple of generations. But 10 billion years from now, all right, when we've been in heaven for 9,850,000,000 years and so forth, the people who have practiced wickedness are going to be on the losing side. You know, they're not going to be blessed. Those who are righteous will be on the winning side. So in the long run, a person is far, infinitely better off being righteous. So we just need to consider that the wicked is transitory. Three, we avoid fretting by focusing on delighting in the Lord and committing our way of life to him, that he might meet our needs and vindicate our righteousness before the oppressive ungodly. I honestly think many times that the Lord allows frustrations of this sort to arise to drive us to look to him, to trust in him, to rely upon him. So many times we get going on easy street and we forget about trusting the Lord. We know that, you know, we're supposed to be trusting the Lord, but in practice we're really not. We're just kind of humming along doing our own little thing over here. And that's not really pleasing to the Lord. He wants us constantly to be delighting on him and to rely on him. So he will allow difficulties like this and frustrations to arise to drive us back to relying on him. And number four, we avoid fretting and realizing that a little material good of the righteous is more wholesome than the great wealth of many wicked people who prosper, all due to the eventual destiny contrasts that are involved. It's interesting how you have to keep looking at the time. What's going to happen years from now? I remember there was a pitcher who was a great pitcher, and people wondered why he had nerves of steel. And he said, well, when I get out on the mound, and, you know, the count is even up, and I know that I could probably pitch and the guy could hit a home run. He says, I ask myself, 10,000 years from now, will it matter? And I say, no, it won't. So I just go ahead and pitch. And I thought, that's a smart way to deal with it. But that's true. As believers, we need to look at the long-term picture. And then, number five, we avoid fretting and realizing that God preserves the upright in disasters, though the wicked perish. And that's so very true. Many times the Lord provides for his own and his own people in times of financial calamity. It's amazing. Dr. Dwight Pentecost once was interviewed for a periodical the seminary was putting out, and he relayed how during the Great Depression there are many times when the president of the school, Dr. Chafer, would come and point out how very close the school was to closing because of a lack of funds. And then all of a sudden, there would be a huge influx of money that would come in. This is during the Depression. And when often, you know, people found it difficult just to give to their own churches, let alone to a seminary. But he said it was a tremendous witness to us about God's faithfulness. And we need to keep in mind that the Lord does provide for us. So in summary, we must not fret if the wicked prosper, but trust God in time to judge sin and bless the upright. We achieve this by realizing that fretting only leads us to evil that God must judge, by recalling that the wealth of the wicked is temporary, by delighting in God and committing our way of life to him to meet our needs and vindicate our cause, by realizing that fewer material goods and righteousness are secure, where much wealth gained in wickedness is not secure, and by realizing that God preserves the upright in disasters while the wicked perish. That is, if the Lord has a purpose, of course, for the upright, then he will preserve him in times of disaster. So, may we heed David's directives to overcome fretting over the prosperity of the wicked. It's interesting, this is a psalm. I've known it for a long time, and I believe it was one of the psalms that we had to translate when I was in Hebrew class at Dallas Seminary and so forth. But this is the truth of this psalm is something that is very easy to forget. It's very easy to get into a situation where we see ourselves getting anxious or upset or fretting over what's going on in the wicked world that is around us. And it's constantly good to be reminded of the fact that that's the low road. God doesn't want us to bother ourselves and work ourselves into a lather over this wickedness that we see, but just look to him, recognize that he's above it. He sees the wicked. He knows what's going on. He has a plan, and he wants us to turn to him. Once again, I believe that the Lord is working in the church, especially here in the United States, more so than he has in the past, of allowing difficulties to arise so that people will look to him. People will trust in him, get back to the Lord, really rely on him, walk with the Lord, and cleave to him. And in so doing, then we will be better off for it. I remember when I was a young man in church, I would listen, that we'd have, especially in the Sunday evening services, there would be a time when there would be singspiration and people could stand up and they'd give their testimony. And many times I would listen to people of the older generation who'd gone through the Great Depression, people who knew what it was like to be, you know, many times without a job, or there might be an income that they had, a dollar a day or whatever. And they had learned to make do and to trust in the Lord. And they would get up and they would testify as to the Lord's goodness and the Lord's blessing in those times of leanness. And I always used to marvel at these people of what they'd been through. We'd heard about the Great Depression, but I was living in the 50s and the 60s at the time. To us, we were past the Great Depression. But this is a very real part of their lives. And they had learned not to fret. They had learned just to rely on the Lord. And that's what God wants us to do. Okay, we'll open it up for questions or feedback that you have. It could be on this psalm. It does not have to be.